Welcome to Shep Talks. My name is Jen Handy, and I'm Shep's Associate Director. Joining me today is Mansi Tripathi. Mansi is a 2022 Washington and Lee graduate. In 2019, she completed her Shep internship with the Gateway Center in Atlanta, Georgia. Thanks for being here.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. In 2019, you had the opportunity to complete your Shep internship with the Gateway Center in Atlanta. The center's mission is pretty streamlined: to connect people experiencing homelessness with the support necessary to become self-sufficient and find a permanent home. However, the agency itself is huge and touches everything from housing to health to job readiness to education and more. Can you talk a little bit about the agency and what your role was when you were there in 2019?
Yeah, so I was also definitely surprised by how big the agency was. I just never really worked anywhere that big and that covered so many different parts of like an issue, basically, something so holistic. I was working under the like volunteer coordinator and outreach coordinator. So a lot of what I was doing was more related to like volunteer groups and stuff, but I was able to do a lot of different things like around the agency as well. And I'm happy to talk more about that if you want.
Yeah, I'd love to kind of, a lot of our interns kind of come in with a main area, but have an experience doing lots of different things. So it would be helpful to kind of see kind of the wide range of things you got to do, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so a few times a week, probably three times a week, I was, myself and the other intern, we were running the clothing closet. So it's a free closet that the organization has, but it's treated kind of like a shopping, like a store. Like a clothing store, so that people can, you know, pick what they actually want to wear instead of just getting a bag of clothes that might not suit them in one way or another. So that was really fun. So it was usually myself and the other intern, and then some of the people experiencing homelessness who were living at Gateway were helping us in the closet as well, which was fun because we got to know them a little better, and they knew, you know, the rest of like a lot of the other people who were living at Gateway. So it was fun to like watch them like shop together. So that was really fun. I did that probably three times a week. And the closet was open probably three or four times a week for anyone to come in, not just people who were living at Gateway. So Gateway had a shelter upstairs that was for men only. And then there was another shelter that was related to Gateway. I don't remember how far away it was, but that was open to more people. Because obviously homelessness is a really big problem in Atlanta, and they needed as much capacity as they could have. And they also had showers. I didn't really have anything to do with that, but they had showers where people experiencing homelessness who weren't living at Gateway could come in, take a shower, and then just leave and go on with their day. I was also, often I ran like a manicure pedicure clinic for people experiencing homelessness. So that was kind of just like finding volunteers to do it. Sometimes I was actually the one like doing a pedicure or something, even though I don't really, not great at it. But that was really cool just to see like people like really excited to get like a manicure or pedicure or something that like we don't think about that can be really big for someone's like self-esteem or just like making them feel, you know, like maybe they have part of their like old life back or something. Something that might be considered a luxury but shouldn't be. You know, like being able to take care of yourself and feel confident. So that was really cool. But the main part of what I did was working with volunteer groups. So the first time I did it, I was just shadowing my supervisor and she kind of just did it in front of me and I picked up how to do it. But basically we had a lot of volunteer groups come in probably once or twice a week because it was the summer and they were anything from like a church group or some kind of like volunteer organization or just any group of people that wanted to volunteer. And they would come in and we would start by doing a little orientation about what do you think, like, what do you know about homelessness? What do you want to know about homelessness? What do you think about when you think about somebody experiencing homelessness, causes, consequences, things like that. And then after our little opening discussion, we would like supervise their volunteering. So usually what they were doing was, sometimes they helped run like a manicure or pedicure clinic, the volunteer groups, but mostly it was in the back kind of like sorting through clothing donations or other donations and things like that. And then afterwards, after they did their volunteering, basically, we would have a closing discussion with them. And that was probably my favorite part, is just seeing like how quickly people's kinds of like kind of mindsets around homelessness change just from being at an organization for 1 or 2 hours. And just like learning the things that people had learned was really cool. So yeah, that's kind of what I did. I know that was a lot.
That's perfect. I don't know if I've ever heard of an agency so intentional about their volunteer groups to have not only the orientation, but like the debriefing. And it sounds like it was really part of the mission to help educate the community about homelessness. So like that was a means, it was a program in and of itself, kind of that way. What a creative and smart way to do that.
Yeah, it was great. I also just forgot that I also, myself and sometimes the other intern would help with like resume development or job applications and things like that for people experiencing homelessness. And those were like free workshops. So like people could come in, use the computer and then get help on resumes and things like that.
Yeah, before we talked, I just was going through the website and I was like, oh, that's health clinics and here are resume building and here's some education things and here. And so really the holistic approach and meeting people where they are was really evident. Kind of that central point of intake for people. It's a beautiful organization. Mm-hmm. What was your biggest takeaway from your experience?
Yeah, I would say like, because this was the summer after my freshman year of college. And in high school, I was definitely like really interested in social justice. I had done like a project or two or a research paper or two about homelessness. But I never really like dug deep. And then after my freshman year of college, I was really interested in a lot of different issues. And I had never really worked in a nonprofit setting that was specifically for people experiencing homelessness. My freshman year, I volunteered with Project Horizon, which is more, you know, domestic and sexual violence, which can obviously lead to homelessness, and it did a lot of times. But I'd never really just worked with like people experiencing homelessness and saw like the different reasons that they might have ended up at Gateway. So I think my biggest takeaway was mostly about autonomy, especially working in the clothing closet. I often felt really guilty, and I talked to Professor Howard Pickett about this a lot during that summer, because I was kind of just like, who am I to tell this person that they can only have 2 shirts or 2 pairs of pants? I was coming from a very privileged position, even just to be like a college student in Virginia going to volunteer in Atlanta for a summer. Like, that comes with a lot of privilege, and I have never really had to worry about clothing or like how many pairs of clothing I could have. And so to be in that position where I'm just like an 18-year-old in college saying you can't have this thing was really hard for me, because I really had to like understand my position in that. And it was really tough. And like, obviously there are reasons for those rules, so that, you know, everybody can have access to clothing and there's not an infinite amount of clothing that gets donated to organizations like Gateway. But I think that was a really big takeaway. And I think that summer really just highlighted to me, like, I think generally when we talk about this work, we're talking about like how we can help X population, but then I just like talking to clients or like talking to people experiencing homelessness and like watching them do talent shows and things like that, like I think we think of often we like as a society tend to think of people experiencing homelessness or people experiencing poverty as like lacking something. But then it was really cool to be like, oh, this person's a really good singer, or like this person has this talent and can write poetry and can do this and can do so many things that I can't do. And this person is twice my age and has lived so much more life than me and is so much smarter than me. So just like kind of stop looking at like this issue as like these people have a lack of something, but also like these people have a lot of awesome, you know, skills and traits and experiences that like I don't have and probably never will have. So that was really cool. And I think generally just like that really helped me in evaluating my position in a lot of this work and thinking about like, again, who am I to be doing this? And like, how do I do this in a responsible way? And how do I like do it compassionately and things like that?
Yeah, you hit on two things. One is when the agencies we work with kind of take that asset-based approach. So it's not, it sounds like it's not just seeing the positives and the assets rather than the deficits. If you're going to have a talent show, that means you're also giving an opportunity for people to broadcast those. So it's taking it the next step. So instead of just seeing it when we're filling out our forms, but really having a chance to let it shine, and how that ties into confidence and dignity and just like that big circle. I'm guessing someone's like, a talent show, what does that have to do with solving homelessness? But right. when you really dig into it, it has a lot to do with solving the issue of homelessness and kind of seeing that. You also hit on something that I think a lot of our interns may or may not expect, but I think it's helpful to know. When we go through the matching process, I've told them in the past, you are going to grow a lot. You're going to question a lot. And if you're struggling and grappling with it halfway through the summer, you're doing your internship correctly. Like, you are both feet in, and it is much about thinking about your own place and how you kind of handle it, how you show up each day, you carry the baggage, all of that is a huge part of what we do. And I think it's not always obvious right away that that's what you're supposed to be doing. It's designed yeah. intentionally that way. So thanks for giving us a chance to highlight that part of things. We think it's a really helpful part of the internship, and a, I guess a hard part as well.
Yeah, like I always say that like summer 2019 was both the most rewarding and amazing and also most challenging summer of my life. Like, I would come home a lot crying because it was like really hard emotional work, and like people would say things to me, like clients would say things to me about like, wow, it seems like you're the first person who's cared about me in a long time, and things like that, where it was just like so emotional and so like charged, and it was a lot to deal with. So like I came home and I journaled every single day because I was like, this is a lot to process, but it was also just like the most amazing summer, and I learned so much. So I think those two things can exist at the same time.
Yeah. So before you left, you had probably taken maybe a POV 101 class or that sort of thing. And so you had some academic grounding before you went. You had this experience to really kind of humanize it and be in it. How did it inform the rest of your undergraduate career?
Yeah, so like I had mentioned, I have always been just like interested in a lot of different things, which is good. But when it came to like, oh, what do I want to do after college? That was definitely difficult because I didn't really know how to narrow my focus. I think that summer really made the issue of homelessness like something I was really, really, really passionate about. And especially, so during that summer, we had actually visited another local nonprofit that was focused on pre-arrest diversion. So like before a point of arrest, what can we do if somebody is, you know, standing on the street for too long, or, you know, public urination or things like that? Like, what can we do instead of arresting somebody and putting them through the criminal justice system? And so like my supervisor had set up a visit with that organization. So it was really cool to like sit down and talk to them and then realize like, oh, like this is so related to homelessness. There's so many overlaps here. And so I think after that summer, I was really interested in crime and like the criminal justice system and how it intersects with poverty and homelessness. And that honestly, that kind of just informed the rest of my college career. I think the way I've been describing it is like, how poverty and homelessness are criminalized, like that is the issue that makes me the most productively angry. So like that's the thing that I really want to do something about. And obviously there are still a lot of issues that I care about, but after that summer I realized like, okay, there's a strong intersection here, and I've always really been interested in both of these things, but I never really knew what to do with it. And so after that summer, I was a sophomore, and I was able to take more classes that were related to what I actually wanted to do instead of just like fulfilling graduation requirements. So I was able to start taking sociology and different classes like that and more politics classes. And then over the course of, you know, the rest of school, I was able to take, I think it was The end of my sophomore year, when everybody got sent home because of COVID, I was supposed to be in Professor Pickett's Justice and Mercy class, which was supposed to be at the Augusta Correctional Center, but obviously we couldn't do that because of COVID. And I was really sad about not being able to go to the jail and like have that class with the people who were in there. But we ended up doing it virtually, and it was still like probably the most impactful class I've ever taken. It really made me think about like who, or just about like who deserves forgiveness, how does forgiveness present itself in society, in the criminal justice system? How do we make a just and forgiving society? And then senior year, I wrote my thesis in sociology, and it was also my poverty studies capstone, about how language is used to criminalize homelessness and poverty. So I think that's been the arc for sure. And I definitely think that that summer had so much to do with what I, with my trajectory since then.
Great. You spent last part of last year working in Colombia. What was that like? That is very different. What drew you to the Fulbright program? What were you doing? Tell me all about it.
Yeah, so WNL is notorious for just having a lot of Fulbright scholars. And so I just heard about it a lot when I was like an underclassman at WNL, just seeing like, oh, this person got a Fulbright. And so, like, seeing some of my upperclassmen friends get them. And I didn't really understand what it was, honestly, until, you know, I got further along in school. So I've been kind of contemplating law school, and I just wasn't sure if I was ready. I wasn't sure if I was 100% wanting to go to law school, and I wasn't sure if I wanted to go straight to school again. And I knew I wanted to travel, and just like, I felt like there was no better time than post-graduation the first year, just because there's so many fellowships and so many opportunities to do that. And it's probably, I was like, okay, it's probably never going to be easier than it is right now. And so I decided to apply for a Fulbright, and I did the English teaching one. And for me, choosing Columbia was, there were a lot of different reasons. I wanted to go to a Spanish-speaking country, because I took Spanish in high school, but hadn't done a lick of Spanish since then. And I figured it was important to practice. I definitely wanted to be somewhere that wasn't super like westernized. I wanted to push myself out of my comfort zone. And Colombia has a really interesting history. And I mean, even currently with like immigration and criminal justice and a lot of issues surrounding poverty and domestic violence and things that I was really interested in. And so I was really attracted to being able to go to a different country and see maybe like what they were doing differently from the US, and whether it was working, whether it wasn't, things like that. And I was also attracted to Columbia because I would be teaching university students, because I really did want to like be around that older age group. I had had experience in college, like training college students or older people in certain things. So I felt really comfortable in that space. And so yeah, I was teaching English, and being in Colombia was amazing. It was easily the best year of my life. I was there for 10 months, and I was in Bogota, and I would highly recommend it to anyone.
All right, so next week, you get to start as an investigative specialist with the Public Defender Service in D.C. So you're in D.C., you've moved. Mm-hmm. And you are about to start this job. What is this job? Tell me all about it again. You're going to tell me about all the things.
Yeah, so it's the DC Public Defender Service. And it's not a federal organization agency, but it does receive federal funding. And my position as an investigative specialist I've been thinking about it a little bit as like a paralegal legal assistant position, but also with the aspect of like investigations. So I think about half of my job will be your more like traditional legal paralegal work, doing things with documents and filing and, you know, the more like administrative office legal work. And then the other half is likely, as far as what I am like aware of, is going to be going out into different communities and doing interviews with people, because, you know, for public defense, it's people who can't really afford lawyers or legal representation, who have been accused of, you know, doing X, Y, or Z. And so talking to maybe like their family members or the police or this agency or something to learn more information. So I think that'll be more hands-on outreach, like talking to people. But it's also a really big agency. It's about, I think, 100 public defenders and 100 of me, basically, like investigative specialists, and then HR people and like other people who fill up the organization. So I think it'll be pretty big. And I'm really excited. I've always wanted to do something like this. I've always wanted to live in DC. I was always really attracted to like defense and like criminal defense growing up, but I really didn't like know anything about it. I just knew that I thought it was cool. So it is kind of like a full circle moment for me to come back and be like, okay, this is actually what I kind of wanted to do when I was in sixth grade. But I'm definitely really excited because it definitely follows the trajectory that I've been on, just thinking about like how are certain issues like poverty and homelessness criminalized, and like I'm going to be seeing that, I'm sure, like every single day. And knowing that like I do want to pursue a career in criminal justice reform, I think this is like the perfect place for me to be right now, because I've always been, not always, but for the past few years, I've been in my head thinking like I really do interact, like interacting with clients, with people, but then I also do like some of the more like quote unquote tedious office tasks. Like I don't get tired of doing things like that. So I think this is going to be a perfect little blend of that.
Finally, lots of students are starting to debate applying to be a SHEP intern next summer. What advice do you have for future SHEP interns and how to find them, what makes them productively angry?
So I think my biggest advice, no, I have a couple of things. I think one of the things is just go into it with as open of a mind as you can. And it doesn't necessarily matter if you got your first choice or you didn't. I think just going into it thinking, regardless, I'm going to learn something about this issue. I'm going to learn something about this local area, community, and like I'm going to learn something about myself. And whether I actively don't like this kind of work, then that's great. Then I know going forward that this is not for me. I think there's always something to learn from any kind of experience like this. So I think going into it with an open mind. And I also think something I wish I would have done is, I was in Atlanta. I wish I had done more in Atlanta. I think I wish that I had taken more time to like explore and to really understand, because Atlanta is such an interesting city and a lot of these places that interns will be are really interesting. And I think just like taking that time to like, even if you're by yourself, go to a different park, go to a different restaurant, go to a different cafe, and just like try to learn as much about the local area as you can, because obviously that informs, you know, what's going on with the population or the issues that they have. So I do kind of wish I had done more to like push myself and experience Atlanta as fully as I could have. And I definitely do regret that a little bit, because I really loved the parts that I saw, but I definitely didn't really take enough like active steps to like really immerse myself in the city and the community. So I would say those are my biggest pieces of advice. And then also journaling, I think, was so helpful to me. I journaled every single day as soon as I got home so I wouldn't forget anything that had happened that day. Or even if I was like on my lunch break at work, I would just like go on my phone on my notes app and just write down things that were sticking with me. And I think like rereading that journal has been really interesting to me, just to see like my progression throughout that summer and just like things that I'd forgotten about the work that I was doing that like were really impactful to me in that moment. And it was just really nice to be able to like release everything. It's obviously, you know, all of this work is emotionally difficult in some way or another. And, you know, you're dealing with people's lives and like things that are really difficult for them. And it's hard not to let that affect you. So I think doing whatever you can to also like take care of yourself throughout that process is really important.
Thank you again for joining us today on Shep Talks. And thank you to everyone out there for listening. Until next time, this is Shep Talks.